With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, just after noon on 106.7 The Fan. Thanks so much for making the show part of your day. If you missed our debut of the game, what is in Tressway's hand? It was a lot of fun. Turns out it was a French press.
A French press.
From his kitchen. And it took a little while to figure that out with yes or no questions, as you can probably imagine. We'll have to run that back at some point, but you can listen back on radio.com with the rewind function. Also, coming up at 1 o'clock today in 59 minutes, Joe Beninati, the voice of Capitals hockey on NBC Sports Washington. We have tasked him with the obligation. We're going to call him up, and he will announce himself doing some type of very normal task at his house. So we're looking forward to that when he joins us on Grant and Danny at 1 o'clock. But let's kick off our Beltway Blitz, three teams in sports in one segment, the latest on everything going on. We'll get you going with Chris Russell. The Caps are not playing. Alex Ovechkin is not scoring goals. Eventually, they will be playing. Slashy, I wonder if there's any way that this will actually work out really well for the Capitals. They were taking on water. I mean, we don't know what any of the teams is doing to prepare themselves, if they're going to have a camp to ramp back up when they get back to live action. But is there a way this could actually help the Capitals?
Yeah, I think we, kind of talked about this last week. Certainly a team that is, that has some veteran legs, even though Ovechkin was dominant. Backstrom has not had the kind of season that you would like. Certainly rest and a break can help you rejuvenate and freshen up for if and when the season comes back. But I guess I would just take issue with, the fact that last year, I thought their struggles during that seven-game losing streak, and certainly in the Carolina series, even though they took leads in a bunch of those games that they ultimately squandered, was because they were tired and because they were older. This year, I just think they're not as good. I don't think they execute as good. I don't think their defense is as good. Their penalty killing has been pretty good, but their power play is worse. Just everything that they go about and try and do is not as good, not as sharp outside of their PK overall. And so I think that was more the problem than being tired, unlike last year. But would the rest help? Absolutely. I mean, as long as we're not talking about getting back to it in July, which, I don't know, guys, we're starting to get towards that point because they're going to need some games and some skating to ramp up, just like every sport is going to have.
Russell, in terms of salary, the third highest paid player on the team is Evgeny Kuznetsov. They don't win the Stanley Cup without Kuznetsov being the best player on the team a couple seasons ago. That hasn't been the case, really, for these last couple years. And it's frustrating. I know he's kind of mentioned it, that it's hard to do every night. Well, no duh, dude, but that's what superstars do, and you make superstar money. I'm not mad. I'm not angry because, again, he brought us a Stanley Cup because of how excellent he was. Mm-hmm. But it is somewhat frustrating, though, that it's hard to get the kind of production that matches some of the money. And there are shifts off, nights off sometimes for him.
Yeah.
When a team's in a lull, I feel like he needs one of the guys that carries them, and we haven't seen that all the time.
Well, I don't know how you feel about this, Danny and Grant. I mean, like, I could live with the inconsistent Kuzi during the regular season if I'm going to get playoff Kuzi, as he kind of became known during that Stanley Cup run. every year, right? But we didn't get that last year in the Carolina series. I think he had a couple of assists, maybe three, four assists, whatever it was. I need more than that. And he didn't play smart and fundamentally sound, and he didn't have that extra juice in his legs that you needed him to have, especially as other guys were worn down, where he could turn one simple little bad pass, one simple little mistake in the neutral zone or at the blue line into something magical. So I can live with inconsistent Kuzi as long as I'm getting playoff Kuzi. What I can't live with is inconsistent Kuzi and the non-super juiced up playoff Kuzi, which is what we got last year. I know we had the game-winning assist to Brooks Orpik or whatever it was in game two. I got all that. It just wasn't enough. And everyone around the team last year knew it wasn't enough. And that was something that I tried to point out several times early in the series, and people told me to pipe down. And ultimately, it was part, especially when Oshie went out, it was part of the reason why this team got eliminated.
Slashy, it is National Puppy Day. I'm wondering, yes, do you have a dog at this point? Do you have a puppy?
Sure. Sure, absolutely, Molly, and she's a great girl, and I saw a lovely picture of Fiona the bulldog, the French bulldog,
right,
napping and being very content and happy by being self-quarantined. So happy National Puppy Day to Fiona, and Molly's not a puppy anymore. She's an adult dog, but happy Puppy Day, happy Dog Day, whatever you want, to all the puppies and the dogs out there, and Danny, even to yours. Oh, wait, that's right. I forgot. You hate dogs.
That is a good zing by you. Go run the ball somewhere. See you, pal.
See you, pal.
All right, man. Let's talk some Wizards, please, Tommy. Our buddy Chris Miles, NBC Sports Washington, NBA Network, all sorts of fun stuff, knows the Washington Wizards inside and out. And, Chris, I want to ask you this. I talked about this with Nick Ashew last week. Is this a blessing in disguise for Bradley Beal extending his prime? A lot of heavy minutes for him over these last couple of years. I don't mind him kicking his feet up here for an extra month or two.
You know, that's an interesting point you make about Brad, considering that he's, you know, been the top three in the league over the last three seasons and minutes played. I don't know about that. I think you have to also understand, we're viewing that as if the season is not going to come back, as if, you know, the Wizards are done. They're not making a postseason, and Brad gets to put his feet up. And if that's the case, yeah, I think that's good for him. But if it's one of those situations where they have to come back and play those last, you know, month and a half of the games of the regular season, I think that could be detrimental for a guy like Bradley Beal trying to get back out there and putting your body at risk.
What do you think about some of the ideas that have been floated publicly that Adam Silver is apparently kicking around, as far as having some type of tournament with various players who get cleared and just trying to get people back in the mode of the NBA before the games can start without anybody in the arenas?
Well, I think a lot of that is breaking news of brainstorming sessions. For instance, for us at NBA TV, we actually have a brainstorming session tomorrow to try to figure out how we could try to get some of our shows back on air. And it's, hey, maybe we can have people at their own homes and try to set up, you know, makeshift studios, and what if we try this or try that? I think that was one of the ideas floated out there, and I don't know if that's a good one. I think people are definitely going to be thirsty for any kind of action they can get right now.
Chris, what's Jerome Robinson going to be? I got some intrigue there. He's athletic. He's got a little Avery Bradley in his game to me. I enjoy watching him, although I don't know what he is or what he's going to be. What are your thoughts?
You know what's crazy? That's a great question in this sense. On the night of the draft where the Wizards took Troy Brown, Jerome Robinson, and I believe it was Lonnie Walker, who went to San Antonio, were kind of the three guys that were on our radar for the Wizards that we were paying close attention to. And I actually liked him in that group as the best NBA scorer, as a guy that eventually would be able to get you 15 to 20 a game, possibly, would probably need a couple of years to develop. So the fact that they got him, I mean, he was taking one pick after Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is now playing at an all-star level. So I really like the pickup for the Wizards, and I hope that it pans out for them. I think he just didn't have an opportunity to play in his first 2 years. So I really love it. I mean, I think that's equivalent to getting a draft pick in this draft. I mean, I think he would have gone like eighth or ninth. So imagine for the Wizards, you're picking up, you know, the eighth or ninth pick in this year's draft with 2 years of NBA experience. I love it.
Was Giannis going to be a unanimous MVP this year? Was there an actual debate to be had for somebody else And I guess there's still a chance that he can win that hardware, but I just hope he gets rewarded for one of these prime unbelievable seasons.
You know, that's also a great question in this sense. The week before the virus broke out in the NBA camp, we all postponed the games. Remember, LeBron James was having that incredible run in which he beat Giannis, and then he beat the Clippers, and then, you know, Giannis is hurt, and everyone's like, hey, is LeBron back in this discussion? And I think we were going to see like 6 weeks of LeBron putting it in hyper mode trying to win that MVP. I think that's one of the things we really lost historically, to see if LeBron could win, what, a fifth MVP, or if Giannis could win back-to-back. I think that's a huge storyline that the NBA lost in this situation.
Yeah, it's one of those times, like, remember when we all knew Jordan was the best player, but Barkley or Malone or other guys won the MVP. We kind of still know, right, that LeBron is the all-time great, but other guys are having those incredible seasons. Chris, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it. Stay safe out there.
Hey, guys, I got one more story for you, though.
Go.
Are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
So, you know, support your local businesses. I live by Tyson's Corner Mall, and I went to the mall. There's this place called All Sports, and I went to buy a Jordan jersey because they had a Jordan Laney jersey, and the guy goes, hey, you know Dwayne Haskins just bought like $1,500 worth of stuff in here, really supported our local business. He didn't have to do that. So I thought that was really cool
to hear
Dwayne Haskins' story that he's been around supporting local businesses in Northern Virginia.
No, that's a good deal. Yeah, Chris, thank you, buddy.
That's all I got, bro.
What's the place? Oh, he's
gone. All Sports in Tyson's Corner Mall. It's still open.
Good. All right, that's what's up. Good for Haskins. That's really cool.
Good deal.
All right, guys. Thank you.
See you, Chris. Let's talk Redskins, Tommy. Grant and I are going to do that. A couple guys have trade demands, GP, but it doesn't sound like the marketplace is in line with their demands and maybe potential contract extensions. Where does Trent Williams end up in terms of does he get shipped, and where does Quentin Dunbar end up in terms of value?
Yeah, I still think Trent Williams gets traded. But where we're at on that from what I was told is the Redskins have just dug their heels in. And they're saying, I didn't get the exact number of what they're looking for. I have to assume it's a second rounder. And that if they cave, that would be a third rounder. But they basically are not getting any offers anywhere near what they think Trent Williams is worth. The way they view Trent Williams is he's one of the best left tackles in football. We're not going to give him up for a bag of peanuts. It's just not going to happen. He'll play for us this year before we trade him for a sixth or a seventh round pick. They're just not going to do that. Now, people say, well, how could you possibly go back through this again? Well, he'd probably almost have to play this year. He wouldn't be able to sit out the full season and accrue a year going into next year. He'd have to report and show up and play football. So if they really don't mind the distraction, if they think he could be a pro when he shows up, if they really want to go through this again, they could. I personally would not. I would end this charade at all costs and just be
Same
done
here.
With it and wash my hands with it, no matter what I got back. But they don't view it like I view it, in the sense of, I'd trade Trent Williams for a six knowing I'm getting terrible value, and I blame Bruce Allen every step of the way and say he screwed this up last year when we could have got a one or a two. The time to do it was now. But they now have to make chicken salad, Danny. And I just don't think they're going to trade him for a bag of footballs. They don't want to do that, whether you think that's a good idea or not.
And really the complicating factor, especially for Trent, is the new contract demand, right? I think that's the thing that's underrated here. Everyone acknowledges, hey, this is a good football player. But the questions that come with it, missing a year of action, all the games that he's missed, the demand for a long-term deal with a whole bunch of money, I think if it's just, do you want Trent Williams, the football player, here's a second rounder, that's easy. That's, you got a bidding war then, and maybe you get something better than that. But the idea that you not only have to give up a draft pick, but you've got to sign him to huge money, that mitigates what you might get in terms of value for the Redskins. They're in a tough spot here. You sort of hope that Ron Rivera and company can be politicians in this thing and shake some hands and kiss some babies and bring him back into the fold to get him the desire to play for this organization again without that contract. Otherwise, we're doing this exact same dance that we've already done for a year plus.
12:45 today, the Grant and Danny Movie Club returns. Inception was the film this weekend. We'll pick a new movie for tonight. Every day at 12:45, we give you our thoughts on the film that we watched. We get your thoughts on the movie to be determined a little bit later on today. And at 1 o'clock, Joe Beninati is going to join us, the voice of the Capitals on NBC Sports Washington. He'll announce himself doing random things at his home during his quarantine with nothing going on, Caps-wise, anytime in the near future. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Next quiet offseason to this point, what are you most surprised by? Lack of movement at quarterback, tight end, or left tackle? Next on The Fan. Joe Beninati calling. Joe Beninati doing things at home. at 1 o'clock on Grant and Danny, 40 minutes from right now. Our movie club renews at 12:45. Did you watch Inception this weekend, Danny?
I certainly did, with great gusto. That is a great movie. Christopher Nolan basically went through a great period where he started with Memento. Him and his brother kind of co-wrote it, but then it was just this run of excellent films, and that's one of them. It's, you know, each one's different, but it's got some of the same tense notes, some you know, sort of great plot devices, very well acted, the dialogue's awesome. I'm a big Inception fan.
We'll cover it in 25 minutes. The Grant and Danny Movie Club is back for week two and day six as we talk about Inception coming up later in the hour. It was a very quiet start to free agency for the Redskins. I think, you know, a lot of fans were surprised. Some might have been disappointed. I don't really know. But here's what you're looking at. Kendall Fuller was the big addition at nickel corner. He's a free safety type who may play more free safety this year for the Redskins than people are expecting. He's versatile, and, you know, he's going to play multiple positions and help them as a $10 million a year player in the nickel against three receiver sets. Shawn Davis comes over from the Steelers, one-year prove-it type contract. He got hurt last year. Then they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick. He, for that reason, was expendable, and the Steelers decided not to spend any cash on him. He became a free agent, and the Redskins feel like they may have gotten a little bit of a steal. Worst-case scenario, a guy who can help him on special teams. Best-case scenario, he starts at safety and plays a ton next to Landon Collins. J.D. McKissic, the running back, is your Chris Thompson role. This is, you know, a guy that they have liked for a while. They considered claiming him a couple different times in the past, and because they had Thompson, they felt like they really couldn't do it and that it would be redundant and that they wouldn't be able to find a role for him. So now with Thompson a free agent, available to go elsewhere, McKissic, who's younger and a little bit cheaper, comes in, and they feel good about that. Wes Schweitzer can play guard and center. I don't think he's going to start at guard. Wes Martin probably should start over him at guard, but you've got a backup at two positions and a guy that can be plugged in. Kevin Pierre-Louis is a special teams linebacker. Thomas Davis could start. I think their plan is basically that he'll be one of their top leaders. John Bostic should start at linebacker, those three guys all added. And then the last two names, Danny, Cornelius Lucas, a swing tackle who's cheap and a good depth player, probably not going to start, and Logan Thomas, who is cheap and was available as a tight end on the market, who's got upside. I just get the sense from the people I talked to this weekend with the Redskins, they were not high on the other tight ends. The name that came up that I think they may have been most interested in was actually the oft-injured player from the Chargers, Hunter Henry, mm-hmm. who ended up getting franchise tagged. And when he didn't hit the market, Austin Hooper was too rich for their blood. They didn't see him as a, you know, $11 million a year type player. They didn't love Eric Ebron from a character standpoint. And they got a very select kind of qualification of what they're looking for in terms of, you know, the types of dudes they're bringing in. So they didn't do anything but Logan Thomas. You can kind of make sense of what they did by saying, hey, they didn't spend a lot of money, they didn't take any risks, that they swung and missed on Amari Cooper, but give him credit for trying. But the bottom line is, Danny, that at areas like left tackle, we still don't know who the starter is. Tight end, they're still probably not good enough. And quarterback, it's Dwayne Haskins and nothing else.
That's right.
What about what they did so far surprised you most?
No quarterback. And people need to understand this. From Ron Rivera's, the first time he spoke, you and I went around and around in circles on this, basically saying he had every opportunity to anoint Dwayne Haskins the guy, right? He had every opportunity to say, this is our man. Instead, he did his Ron Rivera coaching rhetoric, sort of coach speak type behavior, right? Which is everybody's got to earn everything. Well, who's he earning it against at this point, right? You haven't gone out and gotten a veteran to push him to make him compete, et cetera. Left tackle, tight end, some of these other spots where there are glaring holes, there is a draft. There's another round of free agency. The Donald Penns are always going to be available. The fact they haven't gone there just shows me they didn't want to overpay for somebody, right? If you like Austin Hooper and you put him at the top of the market, that's fine. You don't want to give Austin Hooper money to the next best tight end in a very fragile or thin market, rather. You don't want to just overpay. That's how the Redskins have gotten in terrible situations before with very mediocre players, the Kendall Reyeses, the Jason Hatchers, the Stephen Bowens, etc. You give guys that ain't great, great money. Next thing you know, you underperform and you win 5-6 games a year. You don't want to do that. You're judicious with your spending. I love that. This is not the approach that Redskins fans, I think, want by and large, right? You go through 3-13, you got a lot of holes, you got to fill them. You don't just fill them with temporary solutions that are that will break down and leave you in salary cap hell. You look at your team honestly, and you figure out we probably are the 30th most talented team in pro football, maybe 25th, maybe 31st, somewhere in that range. We ain't winning the Super Bowl next year. Let's do this in a smart way in terms of building. So the shocker here is that they haven't brought in another quarterback. They'll get a left tackle. They'll get a tight end, probably both in the draft at some point, whether it's a developmental project or, you know, maybe they think Trent Williams is coming back or again, a Donald Penn type player at left tackle. But the fact they haven't brought in a quarterback in a market where you don't have to overpay, you don't have to give a ton of money to some of these guys, that to me is actually rather stunning, given the rhetoric of Rivera, given where Dwayne Haskins is and has been. I'm floored by that, quite frankly. They haven't done anything in that regard.
I'm surprised, too. But, look, if their plan all along was just to bring in one of the non-threatening clipboard holders, all those guys are still out there. So that could easily be their plan. And while I understand what you're saying 100%, they have their starter at the quarterback position.
Yes.
They've got a guy, sink or swim, that they need to allow to be in the water again this year, obviously, and they hope he starts doing freestyle, and next thing you know, he starts flying along the top of the water like Michael Phelps. But at the same time, they don't have a tight end who's any good. They don't have a left tackle if they trade Trent Williams. So that's why those other two positions, I don't know if it's if saying, you know, that I worry more about them or if that's the right terminology. I guess I'm more surprised because I wouldn't have been shocked at the beginning of free agency if you told me, hey, they went and got Matt Moore, who's worked with Ron Rivera a bunch in the past, to be a mentor for Dwayne Haskins. I'd say, okay. You know, kind of like even a poor man's Case Keenum, Colt McCoy type, who's not going to threaten Haskins at all. A little bit surprising they didn't get someone who could push him some. But, okay, fine. If you would have told me before free agency, they're going to do nothing at tight end and basically nothing at left tackle, because with all due respect to the one tackle they brought in, Cornelius Lucas, I mean, he's, I don't know how much different he is than Jaron Christian.
That's in case of emergency.
To me, that's... Yeah, exactly. And that's what's more surprising, because you have a quarterback. You don't have a tight end or a left tackle.
Right. Not at the moment. But the I guess where I'm going is you still have avenues to address that. And you still have uncertainty with the Trent Williams situation, right? Like, we've already laid it out. Worst case scenario, Trent Williams is playing left tackle for you. I'm sure he'll be thrilled to do that, by the way. But
yeah, with a smile on his face.
Yeah, just he'll come sprinting into work. But, like, you're going to be able to find one with a new process. Are you drafting a backup quarterback to Dwayne Haskins? Right? What has happened to this point is the only avenue, the only other quarterback that's going to be on the roster is one of those bargain basement Jag visor guys that's going to clap a lot and ask somebody what you saw while looking at a Microsoft Surface. There's no competition at this point out there. And that's kind of what surprised me here, is that they didn't go out and say, maybe we'll spend a smidge more to get the best of that group or somebody in that middle class or something to that effect, given Ron Rivera's rhetoric. They're going to have a tight end on the roster this coming year. They're going to have a left tackle. And it turns out they're going to have a quarterback, but it's going to be in a way that I think is surprising going into this offseason. I thought they'd make it a priority to find a Keenum, to find a Colt McCoy, and they haven't done that. And that's kind of what's the most shocking to me.
800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in. What has been most surprising to you about how quiet the Redskins offseason was? No movement at quarterback except for losing two veterans. Nothing at tight end other than Logan Thomas, who you'd think is a third guy, but maybe they project him higher on their depth chart than that. Or the left tackle position, where there's been no resolution to Trent Williams and no viable starting option has been brought in necessarily. 800-636-1067. You can call us now on Grant and Danny. We're talking to Joe Beninati in 30 minutes. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We'll get back into the Skins offseason and what has surprised you about some of the minor moves that they've made in just a few. Some news from the Olympics, though, Danny. Over the weekend, that was kind of the big discussion in sports. What are they going to do with the Olympic Games scheduled for Tokyo in 2020 this summer? The International Olympic Committee, the IOC, acknowledged for the first time, actually yesterday, that it may have to postpone the Games, which is an outcome that has been possible for a while and that a lot of people have been calling for. The IOC set a one-month deadline for a decision that basically said, look, if we're going to cancel the games, which we're considering, we need to know by fill-in-the-blank date. And they're basically saying that's the end of April now. If you look around, though, at this moment, two countries have already said we're not going if they don't postpone. Canada and Australia. Neither are showing up. They're not sending any of their Olympic or Paralympic athletes at all. America has begun to, I guess, rebel, if that's not a weird phrase to use. USA Track and Field and USA Swimming, America's two biggest sports federations, have both called on the Olympic and Paralympic committees to push for a postponement at this point. Shinzo Abe, I believe is the guy's name, the Japanese government, has been steadfast in saying that the games will go on, according to Axios. But Prime Minister Shinzo Abe admitted hours ago that a postponement might be unavoidable, and this was as of late last night. So we're talking about sports. We're talking about these other games that are being played, you know, basketball, hockey, and Major League Baseball, and the fact that they're being shut down. Think about it this way. The NBA and the NHL have a combined 1,200 athletes from 64 countries.
Right.
The Olympics, this isn't 81-plus games annually. This is 11,000 athletes from all corners of the globe, a bunch of whom train day in and day out.
Yes.
And that's their entire life, basically, is to go compete in this one event. 87% of track and field athletes polled asked that this thing be pushed back. Team USA swimmers Katie Ledecky and Simone Manuel weren't even able to swim last week because the facilities that they train at were closed.
Right.
And a lot of players, I guess is the wrong phrase, athletes in these sports can't train at all right now. And they're months away from the Olympics. I don't know how they could possibly go on. But for the record, as of right now, they are supposed to.
Well, we talked about this with when it came to college sports, right? Like the limited windows of seniors having their, you know, last year canceled, a good on the NCAA, by the way, for at least spring sports, giving those, you know, men and women at all levels another year of eligibility. I thought that was really cool. But for the most part, people, you know, having their college basketball last 2 weeks, month, whatever it was, ripped away from them. Well, think about that on an even grander scale. You gear up over the span of 4 years for, in some cases, you know, one routine, 2 minutes of time if you're a gymnast that does one event. Or you know, let's say you do the vault. It's for two passes, the entirety of which last 7 seconds apiece, right? You gear up for 4 years for that, and that could just be ripped away from you. So I have tons of empathy for people that, you know, that would have those games ripped from them. I think back to the boycotts, whether it was the Soviet boycott, the USA boycott, and other countries kind of falling in line over the years. I felt terrible for those athletes.
But if you push it back a few months, is it being ripped from you?
Well, here's what would be happening, and kind of where I'm going.
And by the way, apparently his name, I just want to correct myself because I'm a.
It's Abe.
Abe. Shinzo Abe.
Yeah, you're fine. I don't think anybody's
Lincoln.
Concerned. I know.
Yeah, but I said the guy's name wrong, so I just want to correct it.
No, it's all good. Nobody's
there's somebody sitting there screaming at the radio going, you idiot, it's Abe.
Well, you know, you are a foreign minister, you're an ambassador, you should probably know those things. Oh, wait, you're a radio host in D.C. Anyway, the point of the dude's story is, if they go on as planned, and a bunch of athletes from, so let's say, Australia, USA, Canada, whatever, aren't going, and they hold the games without you, that's where, I guess, kind of where I'm going with that, is if they just do this as scheduled, which seems unfathomable, but maybe if they go forward as planned, then a bunch of countries don't send athletes. I mean, once the big boys pull out, you would say, okay, we finally have to do this. And move it just because of, you know, the revenue of TV and intrigue from it. But if you're just determined and, you know, basically athletes are just SOL because, you know, obviously of the risk, I would feel terrible for them.
Can't they still make their money if they just push everything back? Like, what would they miss out or lose out on? I'm not saying it's ideal, but you know what else isn't ideal? That you're sitting in your laundry room and I'm at my house. You know, that the NBA is not a thing, that the NHL, there are no games, that Major League Baseball isn't being played anytime soon, that people are dying. I mean, everything about this, and I don't make light of that, but these are weird times. Like, people keep referencing, the Olympics always go on. This is what happens. Since the 1896 games, they've only been canceled three times because of World Wars in 1916, 1940, and 1944. Okay, that's a really cool stat. Thank you for telling me. This is a thing that hasn't happened before, and it seems like common sense that you can't get thousands of athletes, 11,000 people in a small area, all on top of each other, literally and figuratively, in a village where they're all competing. I mean, it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, if you'd had the Olympics in 1918, they probably would have been canceled, or should have been, when the Spanish flu hit, took out millions of people. So those other examples are awesome. I appreciate you making them. Now I've got my information. I'll go ahead and use a higher card as we're playing war here. To try to figure out who's who. But, yeah, so I'm not an economist, so I don't know the answer to that. I know that there's resistance. I know that in its early stages, when this was still just sort of concentrated in Asia, there was talk of, hey, remember, the Olympic Games are in Japan. They're not that far down the line. Let's postpone it. And everyone seemed obstinate and very against even discussing that it shouldn't even be on the table. Well, now that we've progressed as we have over the last month plus, it's much more, I guess, out there in terms of as a reasonable step to be taken. I don't know what the opposition is. It's the same way that I've never really been able to understand. I know it would cost you some money, but if you're the Redskins and you're Dan Snyder, wouldn't you make it all back and then some, just in rebranding and making and you know, having a new name and being able to sell new apparel? The idea that would be such a huge loss is lost on me. I don't get what I don't get about this in terms of just say, hey, everything's going on, we're just going to move it back to October. You know what I mean? I don't know what I'm missing there.
Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. Line one, Mike is in Manassas on GND. We're getting back into the Redskins if you got the calls coming as well on things that surprised you. They didn't get a quarterback to help Haskins. They didn't get a left tackle, and they haven't done much at tight end. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing? My thought process in this whole thing is that I don't think there's going to be an NFL season. If you listen to what's being said about when a cure would come, I mean, I don't think you can really plan on doing an NFL season. So, given that, what do we do next year in the draft? How do we determine who drafts when? Well, to me, the common sense answer is you repeat exactly what happened this year, okay? So next year, they will have the number two draft again. So if we don't go out and get a quarterback and we don't play, next year we have a shot at the kid from Clemson. You understand where I'm going with this?
I appreciate the call. I think that the idea that they're not going to play the NFL at all this season is crazy talk. Now, maybe this audio will look funny in a few months, and you can call in and say you were the idiot, and I can't believe you thought that. But season starts in 6 months. We're talking about Major League Baseball at some point starting soon after it was supposed to, and hockey and basketball potentially still finishing their seasons. I have a hard time believing that the NFL season, which wouldn't end until almost a calendar year
February,
from now anyway,
yeah.
Wouldn't play at all next year. I think that's crazy.
Let's say that he's right for the sake of argument. Okay, let's just say that he's right. Let's say that they don't have a season and it keeps getting postponed and whatever, right? Well, it means college football probably doesn't have a season either. So what are you doing with eligibility, right? So the guys that get drafted here next month end up not playing. Do you just say everybody that was a sophomore is now draft eligible as a junior? You got to go off that old game tape, right? You see what I mean? Like it would be. There's a lot of logistics that we don't know. So just assuming, yeah, so the Redskins will pick second again, and they'll be able to have their pick of the litter. I don't know. I don't know how that would work.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is the Fan. G&D Movie Club, 12:45 every day. The movie assigned over the weekend for our club was Inception, and we will watch another movie tonight. That's next on the Fan. Can't even keep track of who plays for the other team. Iconic duos split at the seams. I don't know what he's saying, but it is being taken by players around the league using eye roll emojis as if he's upset. Do you speak Drake, Danny?
I do not. And is this the case? Again, this is one of my least favorite developments in modern sports.
It's getting more
media.
And more this way, by the way, where players just get on Twitter and tweet something randomly veiled, and now we have to guess.
The social media interpretation, right? It's like at some point, somebody's going to offer that as like a major or like a focus, and some sociology professor is going to teach social media, and they'll bring on the expert on ESPN, and like Stephen A. Smith will interview the guy, or Max Kellerman will get to the bottom of what someone meant with an Instagram post or whatever. But I don't know, does it mean that he's enjoys the lyric? Does he like Drake? Is that all it is? Or is it a reference to what the hell the Houston Texans are doing, allowing Bill O'Brien to run roughshod as the worst general manager in sports? I don't know the answer to that. I don't.
I don't know if the Texans do either, but they may want to pick up the phone, call their quarterback, and make sure Deshaun Watson is feeling okay and loved, and that he knows that they're still in it to win it, which I don't know how you'd make that case after the deal they just made, but That's their problem, not ours. It is time for the Grant and Danny Movie Club over the weekend. The film assigned was Inception. I'm going to let you do the heavy lifting here for this reason. Look, I watched it. I liked it more than I remembered liking it, okay? That is to say that if you would have asked me about Inception this week before watching it, I would have told you that I've never made it all the way through it. It's not for me. It's very Matrix-y. There's a lot going on. It's easy to get lost. I don't love when you're kind of adrift in time with the experience. You don't know what a dream is and what isn't and how long these dreams are going. There's just a lot of moving parts for me. But I liked it a lot more than I thought. And I'll tell you who's great in this movie is JGL, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Indeed, sir. There's a lot of people
love
great in this
him
movie. Tom Hardy is perfect. This is the – now, Tom Hardy can lead, obviously, because he's a great actor. But as the, you know, sort of supporting role, the tough guy as Eames, he is sensational in this. It's my favorite Ellen Page role. I generally am not a huge fan of hers. Like, she – to me, her sort of lane is the is Juno, that kind of, like – awkward teenage or young person sort of, you know, weird experience, funny, quipping type deal. Serious roles, I generally am not a huge fan, but I think she's excellent in this as Ariadne, the person who's kind of learning how to be the dream architect here. DiCaprio was great. JGL is outstanding. Ken Watanabe, Saito, is really good. Cillian Murphy is kind of the innocent victim in all this, is sensational. Marion Cotillard, my French is okay, as Leo's wife. Mal in this thing, who's kind of the antagonist kind of throughout that bothers DiCaprio. So the ride you go on, of course, it's basically a heist movie, but it's using people's minds. And that's really what's at the core of this thing, right? We've seen the Ocean's 11s over the years and really fun, fast-paced, hey, what did you miss kind of, you know, quick-cut sort of movies with really sharply dressed, smart, handsome people going back and forth with each other. Well, that's this, except, again, it takes place inside people's minds and dream levels and trickery and everything else. This is a masterpiece as far as I'm concerned. It's so well written, incredibly well acted, entertaining from start to finish. You realize the dangers that they're all in, the risks, the game that Cobb keeps playing to sort of escalate the stakes, subjecting everybody else to it. And they're sort of stuck having to try to get out of this prison that he's created for himself with his own guilt. And there's very many interpretations about the ending, about how everything went and what it really means, the totem and the top, did it really spin? This movie, to me, is the point of movies, right? It's you don't know everything. You get to have conversations about it. You know you liked what you saw, but you're trying to quantify it, and it's worth great discussion. This, to me, is why we go to the theater for an experience like this. I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of Inception. This is in Christopher Nolan's just 100-mile-an-hour fastball period where he's making The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight Rises. He's got Inception kind of bookended this thing. I mean, just so good. This was the 7-8-year window where everything he touched turned to gold.
Yeah, and I can appreciate watching it, its excellence, and understand how good it is without it being, quote-unquote, for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get you.
But it's like being at a restaurant, and you could tell the service is impeccable and the decorum and the seating and the ambiance and everything's unbelievable, and the presentation and the food are immaculate, and you know why it's getting a Michelin star, but it's just not your cup of tea. And that's kind of, for me, what this movie was. I didn't find myself desperate to turn it off, but of the movies we've watched so far, I went in knowing I was probably going to like this one the least, and that was the case in the end. Again, is it an epic movie? It absolutely is. It's just not your boy's favorite. So let's get to tonight's assignment with a couple of minutes left here. And remember, Joe Beninati is going to join us at 1. If you want to hear Joe B. call play-by-play of something random he's doing at his house right now, make sure you're listening at the top of the hour in about 8 minutes. But, Danny, you put together a list for us to try to find tonight's movie.
Yeah, I got a list of 10. And Thami mentioned this last week. Dar's been in this sort of like executive role at the end. So we thought we would switch the order today and maybe – you go last because you've been first or I've been first, and we could switch it up the same way kind of tomorrow. So Dar will go first, then Thami, then Grant. I've got a list of 10 movies.
Let's do it.
Okay, these are all-time classics. So, Dar, are you with me?
I'm with you. Let's go.
All right, let's start here. Star Wars, A New Hope.
Yes.
Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
Star Wars, Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Star Wars, The Phantom Menace.
Yes.
Star Wars, Attack of the Clones.
Yes.
Star Wars, Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Yes.
Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi.
Yes.
Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Yes.
Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
So that's all 10. We didn't narrow it down very much at all. Thami, are you up?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, here we go. A New Hope.
Yes.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Phantom Menace.
No.
Attack of the Clones.
No.
Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
Force Awakens.
Yes.
The Last Jedi.
Yes.
Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
Rogue One.
No.
And Solo.
No.
All right, we've got a lot to choose from here, Grant. Are you ready?
This is not the spirit of the game.
I gave you a list of 10 movies. These are all-time classics.
Right, but you're just trying to make me watch Star Wars.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right, here we go. You're up, buddy.
Hold on. How many movies are left?
So we've got 6 left, I believe.
So what if I say no to all of them?
Then we don't watch a movie.
And the movie club dies?
And the movie club dies.
All right, you weed out some right now then before I go, because I don't – 6 is too many.
Okay, so –
Well, we need to get down the 2, because then the first person I see has to come in and make the decision.
Right. Exactly. Right.
So let me get – I'll get rid of all of the newest ones, because I think Grant has actually seen Force Awakens. I don't remember whether this is our last chat or not.
No, don't so, – I would watch Force Awakens.
Right, so – but that's – again, we're talking about the spirit of this game here. It can be fun, something you haven't seen. All right, let's go in – let me see. We'll get rid of Solo, get rid of this. Okay, so we're down to a few here, Grant. We're down to a few. We have 4. Star Wars A New Hope, the original classic, the perfect movie.
Or what else?
Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, or Revenge of the Sith. Those are your 4.
Revenge of the Sith, isn't that the weird one, like, from 10 years ago?
It's from 2005. It's the fall of Anakin Skywalker.
Out.
Okay, very good. So now
you've then what's left? Which are the new ones?
All the new ones are out, so it's A New
Hope. Oh, these are all the 1970s? Yeah. Oh,
It's A New Hope, the original, so you'll get everything, and it's perfect. The Empire Strikes Back, the best movie of any of the Star Wars films ever made, Irvin Kershner, rest in peace, or Return of the Jedi. My only thing for you is those last two won't make any sense until you watch A New Hope.
Okay, then I guess we have to watch that.
Star Wars A New Hope, everybody.
Also, not acceptable how this happened in any way.
You got foisted.
This is supposed to be fun.
This is fun.
It's not for me.
This is a great time. Again, you'll watch it. It's on Disney Plus. It's incredible. You'll realize
I don't
that
have Disney
thought,
Plus, by the way. How
everything
will I watch
you've
it?
Thought is wrong. Well, it's readily available. It's the most ubiquitous movie ever. And you'll apologize to everybody for being incorrect for all these years. And then you'll turn about on me, and I'll have to watch the Mighty Ducks in the outfield with somebody.
Yeah, I'll give the list tomorrow, by
the
way.
Yeah, it'll be the Fat Kid Camp with the Mighty Ducks. And
Heavyweights.
And,
Camp and Nowhere.
Reeks is in the outfield.
Very salty. I don't have the energy to work up a good lather, but just know that I'm very upset. Whose idea was this?
This was a Tommy.
Damn it, Tom.
Tommy had this, and he started it last Friday, concocted the plan.
Tom, when you suggested that Friday, did you have this ball rolling already?
Yeah, Danny and I had already discussed it, how we were going to do everything that you just heard was scripted, almost word for word.
I'm so mad. Oh, I'm so upset. I don't want to kill the segment. I don't want to be that guy in Sandbag, so I'll play along, but I'm really upset about it. But good job, everybody.
That was part of the idea, I think.
Joe Beninati joins us next on what is one of the worst Grant and Danny installments that have ever happened, right here on the podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.